This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Friday, January 27th. Well, we had a nice day yesterday in the wheat space. We're surging higher, taking Chicago back up to that mid-January high. And in Kansas City and Minneapolis, we barely took out that mid-Jan high. And then we closed right at it in the Kansas City market. So that would suggest that not a lot of momentum to the upside. Because if you're only going to close right at that old high, that does tend to suggest that maybe you're running out of gas for that move. That would be, I think, a temporary thing. We're still looking for the market to have a run into early February, probably around the crop report. But it does look like the market probably is going to correct from here. It might turn out to be a longer-term high, as we saw a year ago, right about this time. The market did put in more of a longer term high before we had the huge run up because of the war. But so far, the grain corridor in the Black Sea is still working. There are some complaints about it, mainly from Ukraine, that they are accusing Russia of kind of slow walking inspections on vessels trying to leave the Istanbul port. Russia is prioritizing the larger ships. And so the tonnage still seems to be kind of hanging in there, but the number of ships that are passing through have declined significantly. Russia's complaints, on the other hand, are that Ukraine is not sending grain just to the poorer countries, that they're sending quite a bit of it to Europe. And that's not really part of the agreement. But either way, we are moving grain. It is kind of slow, but it is having a huge impact on world trade. Russian FOB offers continue to undercut pretty much everybody except Ukraine. And of course, Ukraine is struggling to move it. But Russian wheat sales have pretty much dominated all of the regional markets and starting to stretch into some longer range markets as well. So that's kept a lid on wheat prices. I think it will continue to keep a lid on wheat prices, and especially for the hard wheat, you know, hard red winter wheat, which is what they grow and export. In Australia, of course, they grow more of a soft white wheat. That is dominating world trade from that perspective. They're also starting to dominate feed wheat trade. That's moving into the key Asian feed manufacturing markets, primarily South Korea. So that is supplanting some U.S. corn demand. And that certainly doesn't bode well for corn export sales, which have already been pretty poor, to say the least. So while we've had a nice upsurge here, hedge funds want to be long corn and soybeans, primarily based on tight-ish stocks here in the United States. And for wheat, they've been on the short side of wheat. That's been the short leg of the spread that they are moving against corn and soybeans. That said, it's pretty hard to paint a longer-term bullish fundamental picture for corn or beans. You've got Brazil still in the first half of harvest of what's expected to be a record soybean crop. Right behind that, they're seeding corn into very good conditions. Expected that corn plantings will be at a record high as well, and yields, at least getting started, will look promising. So, you know, enormous production expected coming out of Brazil. You've had very good rain across Argentina after a long dry stretch, which did cut into their potential production for corn and beans. But at this point, those production estimates are at least stabilizing and probably will start to ratchet up. It sure does look like the weather patterns are changing in South America, and we've got much more rain coming for the key areas of Argentina. So it's just difficult to paint, you know, a long-term bullish picture when you got all this rain coming across South America. You've had very good moisture across much of the United States here over the last month or so that has significantly reduced the drought area. Most of the Midwest is in a fine moisture situation. The drought monitor still suggests the Western Midwest kind of dry. Northern Plains are kind of dry, but that's lagging, certainly in the Midwest. The Northern Plains, that could be the case still, of course, and that's primarily Montana. And then the Western, Southern, and Central Plains still is running on the dry side. But there is growing evidence that La Nina is fading, and that should allow more systems to come in through the southwest and allow those monsoon rains to come in to those key hardwood winter wheat areas of the southern plains during the spring. We'll see if that develops. Obviously, if it doesn't, that's a bullish scenario for the wheat space. But I think in the short term, the market has had a good run to the upside, and we seem to be stalling at some important resistance levels. So moving forward, we'll pay attention to, you know, obviously, you know, the demand side of things, but we expect that Russia will continue to keep the corridor open. It, you know, this agreement lasts until March, around March 15th. They will renegotiate then, but it doesn't make sense for them to shut it down. They need that export channel as much as anybody. So it behooves them to keep it open, not just for wheat and oil seeds, but also for fertilizer. And that's a big reason why fertilizer prices worldwide have dropped as dramatically as they have, is Russia's being able to push that into the world pipeline. We are looking at production prospects coming up, of course. We have an increase in winter wheat plantings here in the United States. There's quite a bit of chatter that if the stands don't look all that great in the southern plains, that they will choose to graze it off. That could be. Cattle prices are certainly encouraging that kind of thought process, but we won't really know that until late June when we get the plantings report. So that's, I mean, that harvest is pretty much over in Kansas by then. So that's a long way down the road before we really get our arms around that. What we do know is that hardwood winter wheat plantings are up over 2 million acres, and a lot of that is in dry territory, yes, but if the rains come, it could be a completely different story. The rest of the northern hemisphere, Europe looks fine moisture-wise. The Black Sea looks okay. They've had a bit of a dry spell, but it is winter. You got Ukraine talking about corn production estimates and wheat for next year dropping a lot, and obviously that's just because of a drop in plantings. But they expect that on a best case scenario, corn production will be 18 million tons, and that compares to 27 that they just brought out this past year. In wheat production, 16 million tons compared to 21 last year. So even with wheat plantings down, they don't expect that corn plantings will be able to make up for that. Maybe oil seeds, but I think it's just a matter of supply chain, basically. Number one, you need personnel. Got a lot of people on the front lines. You need fuel, you need fertilizer, equipment, parts, all of that. It's just, you need money. And it's going to be very difficult for them to have even somewhat of a normal production year. So it's looking like you're probably going to shave at least a third of production off of pretty much everything that they're growing out of Ukraine. Export sales for U.S. wheat, second week in a row, having a pretty impressive number, 561,000 tons last week. That was toward the high end of the range of estimates. Japan took 108, Mexico 152. Corn export sales at 925,000 tons. That was in the middle of the range of estimates. Mexico took 407. Colombia took 210. Soybean sales of 1.3 million tons. It was right at the high end of the range of estimates. China took almost all of it at 1.1 million tons. So year to date, export sales for wheat are at 16.1 million tons. That's down 1.3 million from last year. It's a drop of 7%. They're running 76% sold of USDA's projections for the whole year. That's running about 9 points behind the average. In corn, sales so far this marketing year, 24 million tons, down 19 million from last year. It's a drop of 45%. They're running at 49% sold of USDA's projections. That is 14 points behind the pace needed to meet, behind the average pace. Soybeans are a different story, 46.5 million tons sold so far. That's up 2.4 million over last year. That's an increase of 5%. We're running 86% sold of USDA's projections. That's 8 points ahead of the average. So, and that's interesting because USDA lowered soybean export expectations in their crop report just earlier this month. And they also lowered corn, but it looks like they're going to have to lower corn again because we're still running, you know, 14 points behind the pace needed to meet the projections. That's after They lowered corn export projections a couple weeks ago. So there's probably going to be another one. If it's not in February, they're certainly going to have to do something by March. They're just going to have to continue to ratchet down export expectations. And they're probably going to, at some point, perhaps shave off a little bit of ethanol demand as well. Ethanol production has been running strong, but stocks are building huge. And we're just not using it. So they're going to have to slow down production because they're going to run out of storage space. So that's, I think, eventually going to be a drag on corn as well. So short term, I'm looking for wheat to pull back. Corn and beans probably will stall out as well. I think we'll probably get some sort of a bounce back up into the February crop report. But that's going to be another selling opportunity for wheat at least. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.